Monday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky as we get you ready for the Patriots and Chargers. Broadcasting live from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Oh, this is going to be...
Here we go.
Honestly. The greatest 4 hours of football analysis breakdown ever heard in your entire freaking life. I have so many fresh thoughts on Patrick.
You'll fresh thoughts on
brand new.
Oh,
thoughts.
I have one too.
Oh, you got one.
Two. I have one.
You're any more than one.
One,
my man.
I have one, and this was for my son though. So I don't know if you want me to wait
so
for it. You want to start?
We're going to start there in a second.
Yes,
this
is amazing,
of course,
that he brought it up.
The best place.
Fresh material.
We had that for you today. We only did the combined the three of us 60 hours of different programming this week on Pats and Chargers.
It's all right.
So we got a lot more to do. This is the best place to get started for Patriots and Chargers football. Is what did Portnoy just say?
Oh, the long preseason is over for the Patriots. The season begins in Foxborough.
Yeah. NFL Sunday here at the Best Yet broadcast booth here from Foxborough. Mutt, Fourier, Keith, right up until kickoff, the postgame show with Fred and Steve and DeAssi. Doug Lane is here. Garvin and Eamon back in studio. Your phone calls all morning long on why you're picking the Pats or why you're picking the Chargers, 617-779-7937. You made the note the last couple of weeks, Fourier, that it felt like preseason football down here from the pregame part of it, watching the fans and the traffic. Feel any different to you today coming into
No, it looks good. No, it looks good. You can tell everybody got here early. The one thing I will say about New England Patriot fans is once they put their mind to it, nobody tailgates like the New England Patriots.
Yes,
I saw driving
early.
Up, I don't know if you guys even witnessed it. I used to like parking my car and walking through the fans when I would come to work on a game day if I had the opportunity, just to kind of get the vibe of things. I saw a couple tailgaters who actually brought like trees. They brought trees, like fake trees. They wanted like a certain type of ambiance. Right?
Trees?
Yeah, it was freaking weird. Yeah, they brought like a fern.
Is that near us
right down Route 1. I made a U-turn over there by McDonald's.
Wait, so when you would walk through the fans as a player, did they recognize you?
Sometimes not.
When he asked for a cocktail, he's like, make me one of those Mai Tais.
Well,
I'm good.
Because it's just, because in Seattle, we didn't have it. So when I came here, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, fans actually tailgate. You couldn't tailgate in Seattle because they moved us to the Husky Stadium. There's no tailgating.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's cold here, but they're ready to go. And that's the thing. We were talking weeks 16 and 17. It was just,
It was dead quiet. The cars weren't here. There was no line to get in. I mean, when I drove by, it's the same thing today. It looked like a big Patriots game. All the parking lots started to get filled up. People will not forget in line for the parking lots. They were already out of the parking lots. The fire was going. They had been here early, and it is cold, man. I mean, I guess
it's not that bad.
See,
it doesn't feel. There's no wind.
I felt getting here today that I maybe didn't give the weather enough credit in my analysis. This 20 hours of analysis in this game this week because it is gonna be cold.
Going to be dry. Going to be cold.
Brady was out there on Friday playing catch, trying to get used to it. It is going to affect the two passing games today. Maybe not a lot, but you will see, like we saw in Kansas City yesterday, cold ball. Not a wet ball, but a cold ball.
But it's not going to be
There'll be some drops today.
Like
There'll be some drops today where you go, yep, cold ball.
I say, but see, here's the thing. I think people don't understand. Like when the ball is, if it's not, like Kansas City, that's horrendous. You saw a ton of drops early in the game. It's just ridiculous.
The ball is a different color.
Kind of wet and everything else.
Yeah, so to me, like that's one of the worst type of situations you can be in. This right here, I know it's cold, but the ball is, you have these tacky gloves, and it's not to the point where it's like freezing.
But the ball's slick though, right?
No, it isn't.
Cold?
It isn't slick, and I tell you what, they rotate those, I'm telling you, I remember the easiest time I had catching a ball.
Come on, tell him he's wrong.
Jermaine Wiggins asked me, did I play any wild card games?
No. But I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to go that route because I respect your opinion.
Because you have a brain.
Okay.
But they all have like heat packs and everything too.
No, but I remember that Tennessee game years ago, 03. It was, and I remember it was so easy to catch the ball. The gloves weren't wet. They kept their tackiness, and they kept refreshing the ball. So it almost like it just stuck to the damn ball. Not like this, like the wet rain or no, duh, it's wet. But like the snow, you know that snow where it's like, it's not necessarily sticking to the ground, but it's mushy and just whatever. But that situation is tough. This, to me, is easy.
Was that the coldest, most – I mean, you said it was easy to catch catch the balls, but was that one of the worst weather games you played in?
Well, it was just, yeah, as far as coldness, it was the worst. Yeah, it was the worst, easily.
Because that one, I'm sure they'll see. You'll see the graphic, like whatever the game time temperature is. I bet today they compare it to that game.
Yeah, but it's what? Is it going to be 30 degrees?
I think it's going to be, well, yeah, 20s.
Kickoff would be around 28, 29 degrees.
Yeah, that's, I don't
so
think.
So that's not bad. These, but it's below freezing, and that's the number everybody
that is
says
perfect.
Philip Rivers. They're like, oh, below freezing.
Oh, really?
Philip Rivers.
Yeah,
like
I would say everyone's going to love the fact that the turf's going to be fast.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, you know, it's not wet at all. We didn't get any snow. I think people are overestimating, like, how bad the weather's going to be.
So does it favor either team, or is it just nothing?
I think they're both. The conditions are fine. Like, it's not windy. If it was windy and cold, then you'd see a lot of guys start getting mentally weak, going, screw this.
And I take that back. Temperature at kickoff's going to be 23 degrees. It's not going to get much warmer than it is right now. The high today, as I'm looking at
cold. What's the feels like? There's always a little number there next to the temperature. What's the feels like? What do we got there?
I'm just getting a plentiful sunshine, high of 26, winds 5 to 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that
weather.
You're saying non-factor. I said 20 degrees, cold. Brady's been, we'll get to the numbers here in a second, but Brady's had great success here. Opposing quarterbacks have, and I thought maybe as someone who picked the Chargers, maybe I should have given this some more thought that it'd be this cold might affect the Chargers' offense today. But they're a big physical team, and so they're built for this type of thing. Meebane in the middle is a monster.
He's a monster. They can run. You know, they got two running backs averaging over 5 yards a carry. You know, both those guys were better than Sonny Michel, at least in that stat. So they're kind of built for whatever. Like, I don't see any glaring weaknesses with the Chargers. And I felt like the more we talked about them this week, as Mutt said, you know, each hour that goes by, you're like, oh, they're better. They're better than I thought every single time, because you're trying to take something away. And, you know, it was easier to do with the other playoff teams. You know, you look at Baltimore, you're like, great defense, terrible offense.
One-dimensional.
You know, even Kansas City, we can get into the game from yesterday. I didn't think they had that in them in their defense. But every team sort of had their flaw. The Chargers in the AFC seem like the most complete team. I'm not saying they're one of these all-time great teams, but, you know, running, passing, stopping the run, getting after the quarterback, everything seems pretty complete for them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I sit there and I'm watching those games yesterday and go, okay, well, this is what's supposed to happen. The home team is the home team for a reason.
Right.
You got that number one seed for a reason. Like, you put in the work, but everybody forgot what that team looked like, and they go, oh, here come the Dallas Cowboys, or here come the
here come the Colts.
Right?
What a stretch they've been on.
Again.
Blah, blah,
wow,
blah.
It's crazy. Andrew Luck's playing great. Like, everybody picking all these quarterbacks that
the world
played
was
the
in
week
the Colts
before.
Yesterday. Everybody,
oh, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody,
and I would say, yeah, the defense showed up, but holy cow, like the offense of the Colts was so pathetic.
And Adam Vinatieri,
so bad.
Hard to watch.
Yeah,
hard to watch.
They panned to him, and he has got that white Santa beard.
He looks like he's
old
1,000 years old.
I was like, dude, just shave it off.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you could save yourself.
Playoff beard.
Oh man, it doesn't not. He looks like, you know, Tim Allen from Santa Claus,
like before
he gets fat. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was a bad.
But this game is going to be, like, I'm nervous about. I'm still going to pick him to win because I've been sticking with it since the regular season ended. But this game, I tell you what, they better have something up their sleeve.
Yeah, and they usually do. Like, I feel like this is when you get Edelman throwing a pass down to Amendola, or like you get, like, remember, like you get like some kind of play, like, or like,
well, how
a
about
Shavarine
this? Throw it to Brady out of the backfield. How about that one, Josh? Is he open?
That works all the time.
Go to him.
That's never going to happen again, ever in his life.
No,
his son's going to be like, yeah, Dad, let's run Philly special. Shut
I can't.
Up.
I'm all-time quarterback. I stand here. I'll throw it.
See, it just feels like, and we will take phone calls from people who will tell us why they're picking the Patriots today. It feels like if you want to go on the Patriots and you want to build the argument for the Pats winning this game today, you are doing it on the backs of history. You're doing it on Brady and Belichick and their record here at Gillette and the home record in the postseason. Because if you're doing it on the here and now and what we saw this year, you just said it, Rich. The Chargers are a better football team. They played in a better conference. They had just as good a win as the Patriots did. And if you did the check marks and go through all the positions, they've got more talent. So to me, if you are backing the Pats today, it is strictly backing history, Brady and Belichick. If you're living in the here and now, you are picking the Chargers as the better team most of the year to come in and win this game at Gillette.
But, I mean, there is recent history, too. It's not just, oh, Brady beat Rivers in 07. Like, there's more than just that. The Patriots were undefeated at home this year.
Yep.
And when we asked Fourier a while ago, I remember, like, what are the Patriots good at? And one of the answers we came up with, they play well at home. They play really well at home. And so I know the Chargers really counteract that as well as anybody else in the league, because they're 8-1 on the road. But so, okay, so maybe that's even a wash. But the Chargers now have been on the road for three straight weeks. The whole thing with the West Coast team with a 10 o'clock start, all that stuff, I think, factors in. The coaching advantages for the Patriots, so...
Is it enough to offset the talent gap? See, because I would think that you could do these little things along the way. You can say, well, this, and this. Just from a talent standpoint, is that enough to offset a Patriots team that we all agree is not a prototypical Patriots playoff team? This
it's
is not,
not.
Yeah, but I mean even you at least at some point agreed that this was not the same feeling Christian who's had in previous years about this Pats team. It took a lot of work. It took a different angle than to get where they are today hosting this game.
No, I 100% agree with you, but when you I feel like we don't give them enough credit for what they've accomplished also. Based on, I think people look at the losses, five losses, lots of injuries, Brady not playing as well, Gronk being hurt. Gordon being gone, no weapons, and if we ask that question again today, like, what are they good at? And I can give you three or four things that I think they're good at, like better than the rest. I think they're secondary.
Better than the Chargers?
Wait, better than, I think where do they get the check mark over the Chargers?
I'll give them the secondary. I'll definitely give them the secondary. I'll also give them their O-line.
Okay.
I like the Patriots O-line.
Huge. Yeah.
Let me see what else. Special teams wise, I guess I'll take our kicker.
All right. He's usually good for a miss in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But just being honest.
Weapons wise, receivers wise, okay, you give that to
it's them.
San Diego.
Them. Oh, how about backs?
I like their backs
better. If Gordon is even remotely healthy, it's them.
So that's Melvin Gordon. Who's the other dude?
Austin Eckler.
No, what did Glenn call him on? Can you find that, Carmen? That's the best.
I didn't even know. I must have went over my head on that one.
Eckler, I think.
Oh, God.
No, that's heavy dose. Heavy dose of Eckler.
But he was good when Gordon got hurt.
Justin Jackson.
Jackson they have as well.
No, he was. But you wouldn't take James White, Kevin Burkhead, and Sony Michel over
Rex Burkhead. You're combining guys now. Sony Michel.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Sony
over Gordon.
So
I would take
that's probably pretty close. I just think Gordon, it depends on how healthy he is. He's dealing with a knee injury, obviously. So you got to factor that in.
He has braces on both knees.
Yeah. But so he averaged like 5.2 yards a carry. Eckler averaged 5.1 yards a carry for the season. Sony Michel was more like 4.5, and he's bad in short yardage. He just is. Like, 3rd and 1, you might as well just give the ball to Devlin or do the Brady sneak. I don't think Michelle's going to pick it up. But I guess the ability to throw to White, maybe it's closer to a wash.
I think that those three backs are the ultimate key to this game. If they're involved, I think they're going to be involved early. I think all three are going to have a huge role in whether as far as just production goes, overall production, yards, catches, those three backs should be the most productive.
First time since 2004 that you're probably saying the running backs are more important than Brady for winning this one game.
Yeah. And the offensive line.
Absolutely feels that way.
It's like the offensive line is always like, offensive line's got to be okay, crap, right?
Right.
They're missing blocks, okay, but they should be good. They've been there almost the entire, really 2 years. Those five guys, except Trent Brown.
Who's been pretty good.
He's fine.
Okay, Greg Bedard says the knee bend has not been
good. Knee bend's been bad.
That's why the Pats' running game has not been good at times.
Trent
Brown knee bend, not as good.
Well, run to the right, all right.
Watch the all-22s. Watch the all-22s like Greg does, okay?
Okay, I'm a busy guy.
Watch the all-22s.
Please. I like to watch the all-11s here. Though.
I actually like
my HD TV.
I actually like to watch the condensed version.
Yeah.
Play.
Speed it up,
play.
Then when the announcers start talking about the play, and then it just goes to the next one. Yeah. Like, what did they say?
You just watch Pats and 2 on Monday. Yeah.
And I'm with you guys. If I was making my case for the Patriots, history would certainly be number one.
Yeah.
Their running game would be number two, their ability to run. The Chargers had a tough time until really last week. Containing big running games, they went to this defense that we all talked about, these 6'7" defensive backs, and they kept Lamar Jackson and they kept Gus Edwards in check.
Gus didn't make any stops.
They get Mebane back today, who's a great run stopper. I think that's a plus for them. The emotion of missing the last couple of weeks, losing his newborn daughter, and then rejoining the team for this game. But does he have to be in shape as a run stopper?
Yeah.
If
they're moving at a pretty good pace, he might have to get off the field. He might not be able to do it.
And on the other side of it, and this is going to sound like a 1994 football cliche, the Patriots' inability to stop the run is what would scare me the most. They had a three-week stretch against the Dolphins, the Vikings, and the Steelers where they had the fourth worst yards per attempt against in the history of football. That's how bad they were against the run.
Where'd you find that stat?
Me and Tom Curran have been hammering that stat for a while.
And that was Jalen Samuels and Frank Gore. Like,
and
that
remember,
wasn't even
the Vikings,
and Dalvin Cook, and they stopped giving it to him.
The Vikings coordinator got fired because he didn't run it enough against the Patriots.
No,
2 weeks later, he is out. If he had kept running the ball, that would have been a different game. And today, the Gordon injury is a huge one. And if I thought he was 100%, I'd feel a lot more confident in the Chargers winning today. I think they're going to try to do what the Patriots are going to try to do. It feels like a low-scoring physical game early.
Big Ten
where
football.
Both teams, amazingly, are trying to establish the run.
Yeah,
and you saw it in the games yesterday. The teams that are able to run the football and keep the clock going are teams in the playoffs that win games. You saw that Kansas City Chiefs give it to Damian Williams over and over again. The Colts could not get off the field.
That was great.
You watched C.J. Anderson last night and Todd Gurley absolutely gut. And push around the Dallas Cowboys like they were not even there for 238 on the ground.
You like that Sean McVay?
I do. I like him.
Like
that bootleg call with Goff. Fourth and goal going for it from the 1 yard line.
Why not?
When a field goal gets you up two scores.
Cliff Kingsbury's writing notes. Okay, make sure.
Go for it. Every fourth down.
Running game back? Question mark?
Yeah. He didn't tell me
out
this.
Football?
Get C.J. Anderson.
I formation handed
Where's
fullback?
The genius? That's what makes him a genius, though, Mutt.
Oh,
the fact that
next
you think
level.
He's going to zig, but he zagged. Ooh, got to keep everybody guessing.
I'm pretty a genius.
Good. I just to go back to that Kansas City game. So the Kansas City Chiefs lose Kareem Hunt.
Yes.
And everybody sits there and goes, they're going to be killed by it. It's such a big loss. They won't be able to run the ball. Like, I'm not surprised that they had just as much success with Williamson.
Who's their third running back, by the way?
Because
Spencer Ware's been out.
Williams is much better. Spencer Ware is he's C.J. Anderson. Williams is electric.
I like Damian Williams, but I'm just saying he was third on the depth chart, and he's fine.
What's the word I'm looking for? Slippery. He is a slippery running back.
Well, but if you look
slippery,
at, like,
trying to catch a fish.
All those
gloves.
With your bare hands.
It keeps coming out of my hands. Like, whenever you look at those college the good college offenses the Baylors and the old Oregons,
Texas Tech,
BC,
Washington State,
UConn,
Hawaii, Cole Brennan,
UNH Chip Kelly,
Ryan Day when he was there.
Those running backs, they're never really great pro running backs, but in college there's. They can just – their first back is just as productive as their third back because the offense is so – like, as a defense, you're so stressed out because you're watching this guy, then you're watching the slant, and then you're making sure, is it a run, is it a pass? So, and then the offensive line
like
gets
Jeff
the
Demps.
Benefit of
Jeff
angle.
That way.
So it's crazy that – I'm not surprised because once you get them get a defense
Sprinter
on the ropes,
speed.
Like, and then you start getting in rhythm with the play calling – the run blocking is easy because you have angles and guys are overreacting and the lanes are huge, the holes are huge. He didn't break all these tackles and like a big back.
Although
the
Colts missed a few.
Yeah, but he's
tackles.
Once he gets by the front line, good luck. He's in space.
Yeah,
I just feel like it's not. I just feel like it's easier for an average back to play great in that offense once it gets going. Because there's so much going on. There's so many weapons.
I know. I was going to say, guys like Le'Veon Bell lose so much leverage when James Conner becomes a Pro Bowler. Or you look at Kareem Hunt, everyone's like, oh, he's a top five back. And then they don't miss a beat without
Jalen Samuels plays well in place of him not being there. And it was not the running game was a part of it for the Chiefs. But, I mean, people forgot that Pat Mahomes was pretty good this year.
But C.J. Anderson did
phenomenal last night.
Oh, Pat Mahomes was great. And everybody's wondering, was he going to be nervous because of the playoffs?
He looked very nervous.
The
sidearm flick when he caught Kelsey in stride was about as good as a throw as I've ever seen a quarterback make.
Yeah, they're absolutely
his ability
loaded.
To throw across his body is unbelievable.
Hello there.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's going to bite him in the ass in the championship game. That is
going to
bite him in the ass. Yeah, he does it all the time. So and that's the type of coaching point that Bill points out if they get that opportunity to play him.
Yeah.
But he says, listen, don't lose. Because most defensive backs or linebackers say, wow, he's not going to – he can't make that throw.
But
I'm going to leave that guy there.
Patriots might want to lose today because they're going to get smoked next week. They're going to lose by 30 points next week. If they
on the road in a unbelievably tough environment. But what? They beat him before.
They beat him before.
So what?
They beat him
43-4 a year.
Shouldn't that give you confidence?
When Mahomes didn't get any points before halftime and threw a terrible pick.
Mahomes,
he's a better quarterback now than he was at that point.
He did not play very well, and they scored 40 points on the road.
31 points.
The Patriots would allow 49 points, 50 points to the Chiefs in Kansas City. unless it's just an absolute blizzard. But even then, who knows? Chiefs just – and the fact that their defense looked pretty good against the hottest quarterback in football, man.
Well, Andrew Luck
– this could be their year.
He's a much better quarterback inside at this point. You say he looked,
yeah, kind of like
he
Drew
looked
Brees
like the shoulder was sort of getting. He had no pop on his throws. He hit for that one touchdown pass, but so many deflected passes, balls batted down, and he's so. I don't know if it was just the weather made him look the slower, but the release of the ball looked like slow motion. Jones kept getting his hand up and knocking the ball down.
That's
Eric Berry too. Eric Berry was supposed to play for Kansas City. He got he was inactive. Maybe he'll go next week. But they still. They were going to shut out the Chiefs for much of that game without that punt block.
Exactly.
Shut out the Colts, excuse me.
All the procedure penalties, the offsides, the block passes.
Rattled.
The drop passes. I mean, it was like, I think
they had a bunch of drops. They had, I don't know how many
series, and they had that one first down, like eight plays, like 27 yards or something like that. It was ridiculous how bad they were.
Yeah.
I mean, everything they did, nothing they did worked. Not one freaking thing. And whenever they had an opportunity, either – somebody dropped the ball, even when they were going on fourth down, like nothing worked. So that game was over before it even started.
So that means no matter what happens today, this will be the final game at Gillette Stadium for 2018-2019 season. The winner of this one goes to Kansas City. The road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through Arrowhead. Later today, you get the Saints and the Eagles. That'll be the late game. The winner of that game gets
Rams.
Yeah, Saints and Eagles later. Rams are now in the NFC title game after their win last night. So things are pretty much set.
Yeah, so the Rams will either go to New Orleans or they'll get a chance to host Philly. So that's what's on the line tonight.
We'll get to that game at some point, see if Nick Foles can continue it. But it's all about Patriots and Chargers today. And who you are on today. If you're on the Patriots, I'm curious why. If you're going to bank on history or something you saw with this team you think can be a factor, what stands out from this matchup? Maybe it is Brady and Belichick, because that feels to me like a lot of people are hanging their hats on that. At 617-779.
And you may have an overdose of Eckler.
That, him too. 617-779-7937.
So the phone calls with you.
Guests
and your
here lined up. Tommy Kern, our normal guest, a surprise guest for Christian Fourier, will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. If he's even here, he might be going to do TV. And speaking of last game for the Patriots here at Gillette might be the final game of Rob Gronkowski's Patriots career at Gillette Stadium. We'll get to that news next. NFL Sunday, Patriots Chargers this afternoon, Sports Radio WEEI.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mudd, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday as we get you set for Patriots and Chargers on Sports Radio WEEI.
What is your mindset just where you mentioned when your season's over? I mean, for you, just based on some of the discussion of the last year in your career, sort of what's your mindset with this game and where you go from here after that?
Oh, my mindset is just all focused on the Chargers. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Last few days, just putting the preparation in, all focused on the Chargers, all focused on whatever I can do to help out the team, whatever the coaches ask me to do. I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability during practice, and I'm bringing it out to game week on Sunday.
I was focused maybe on Chargers this afternoon, but the reports once again for a second straight playoff run are swirling around Rob Gronkowski. It's NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, and Fourier here on WEEI. Your calls on Pats and Chargers all morning at 617-779-7937. Of course, after the game, your calls with the Real Postgame Show, Ordway, Smirlis, and Diassi. So it was Super Bowl week last year, right, where the Gronk stuff came out, the Gronk retirement. It was, I think, the
one
we
went
to Minnesota.
It was post-game. That was when he was asked about it.
Right after the game,
Florio might have had it like that day or that morning, and then that's why I forget who the reporter was that asked him about it right after the game.
So that was last year.
Right.
And so we spent a couple of weeks talking about Gronk's future, what's he going to do. We find out that they essentially had him traded. He fought that. Sounds like Brady fought that, and he stays here. He's not had a great year statistically on the field. Mike Florio joined us on Friday and said he's lost the joy for football. And Florio said to us on Friday on the show he would not be shocked if Rob Gronkowski retired after the year. Ian Rappaport must be hearing from the same people, because he had a very similar take, this is just a couple hours ago, on the future of Rob Gronkowski.
Now, another player we've been monitoring, Rob Gronkowski, who, of course, famously and for several months considered retirement after last season, only announcing he was coming back actually during the draft. I am told, after talking to people close to him, he is expected to do the same thing this year, strongly consider retirement. And people who know him, Mike, do believe that he will go the other way this year. In other words, there is a possibility, a strong possibility, that we've seen the last of Rob Gronkowski on the field after the Patriots are out of the playoffs, whenever that ends up being. This year really has taken an emotional toll on him. It has been difficult at various times, and do not be surprised if Gronkowski ends his football career and ends up as a wrestler or an actor or something like that.
All right, so basically the same thing we heard right around the Super Bowl last year.
Same stuff.
So I would say he's got a choice now. He either follows through with this and retires, or he becomes the Brett Favre of tight ends. Because this is now two straight off seasons where we're hearing about going to retire, not going to do it anymore, whack and more, back and forth. Either retire or just keep playing and just stop talking about it, or stop letting your people talk about it. It is getting tiresome for where I sit to hear over and over again about Gronkowski's emotional state, his joy. It's
he
football.
He does seem miserable.
It's football.
Think?
Either play or don't play. This is getting a little silly to me in the talking about every offseason now. Brett Favre Jr. is going to play or not going forward.
I think he's done.
I don't know how
he has to be.
That.
Once you start talking about it, feels like, Christian, as a player, if it's this many whispers, normally don't bounce back from that. You are going to retire.
I was that way when I was in my sixth or seventh year. I was talking about retiring. I said it out loud. I was mentioning it to trainers and equipment guys just because I was hurt and I was miserable. And the more I poke around, the more information I try to get on Gronk, that's what it stems from. Not the fact that he doesn't have a lot of catches. I mean, that's obviously, it becomes shrapnel, right? That's part of it. But he's hurt. He can't catch up. He's been battling it different than years past. And I think if he had another offseason to get healthy, I think you'd see a different attitude with him.
But what are the chances at this point with all the injuries that he's had that he's going to be able to have a healthy year? I just wonder.
What, next year?
Yeah. I don't think that'd be very good.
How old is he? He's not like he's
like 29.
29, going to be 30 years old.
But 9 years in the league? That's longer than average career. And the way that he plays, don't you factor that in? I mean, last season, he was as healthy as we had seen him. You know, he missed two games.
And
one of them
bragging about it because he worked with TB12. He worked with Guerrero and felt great throughout the
season. So it's got to be even – I mean, he had the concussion in the playoffs, but he came back from that. And then this year, he was probably thinking, hey, maybe I've put those injuries behind me. And then he's dealing with a back injury, an ankle injury. The success on the field is not there at all. I'd be more surprised if he did return than if he didn't at this point.
Man, it's so hard to walk away. It is. Like, it's almost like, I know he's got a bunch of money because he doesn't spend any of it, right? That's what he always talks about.
That's what we hear.
Yeah.
We have no idea of knowing, by the
way.
We don't
know.
That's true or not. People love saying
I've not checked his W-2s
Nobody has. Yeah. I just feel like it's, man, because once you're out, you're out. Like, you're done. Like, they don't let you back in. Nobody wants you to come. I don't care how good you are. Once you're out, you're out. And I don't think this is a decision that it's made. He's still under contract for one more year.
He's not. Right? The Patriots are not going to bring him back at the dollar amount he's scheduled to make.
Well, again, so fine. They make you rework it. They make you take a pay cut. Maybe that's too hard for him to swallow.
Okay,
I think that's part of it,
This
too.
Is why I think it's definitely part of it. I think he is trying to... this is why this is like the cry wolf Brett Favre part of it. I think there's part of his group that's trying to show him if they leak this out, other teams are going to reach out to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and say, hey, you know, if he wants to still play, maybe we'll pay him what the Patriots are paying him, because it's the $12 or $13 million next year.
But if he really
they're not going to pay him that. We know that right now. They're going to trade him last year. He's been hurt and underperforming this year, probably because of the injuries. So there's no way they're bringing him back at that dollar amount. So I think part of this retirement thing is, let's try to see if there's other teams that would be willing to spend money on Rob Gronkowski.
If money was the most important thing for him, he wouldn't be here right now. He would have just accepted the Detroit deal, right?
Yeah,
and then they would have figured out a deal, and he would have made more money than he is now.
He probably would have gotten a new deal with the Detroit.
Because I do believe that part of the story that says he wants to play with Brady. Makes sense. He's played his entire career with Brady. Who else would you rather play with? So I think he likes playing with him.
I can name a couple.
What's that?
Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff,
Drew Brees,
guys with like L.A. You imagine this dude in L.A. Oh, come on now. I mean, let's him and Sean McVay.
Two teams in L.A.
Sean
to play with.
A genius. I do like Sean
two
McVay.
Two teams in L.A. to play with.
If anyone can get it out of him, it's going to be Sean McVay.
No, that's true. They can use a tight end there. That's true. That might be a good fit for him. But I don't know. I mean, that's what he said. And he could have gone to Detroit, and he could have made some more money. It's not like Detroit. Detroit now looks like a bad spot, but at the beginning of the year, Matt Stafford, a team coming off a 9-7 record, the familiarity with Patricia, that would have been a decent spot. They were trading him to the Bengals.
Yeah, see,
the
I think that, and I said this, and I think that he is. We did this thing on our show about who's going to get the ball first, not Brady, because he always touches the ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who gets the first carry or the first catch? Who do you think?
Sonny Michel obviously gets the first carry.
He gets first carry. No, who gets first the everything? Out of all the skill position players, who touches the ball first?
Julian Edelman.
Edelman gets a pass, right?
Edelman's
so it's a pass.
Or I could see one of these, start the game off one of these little chest pass things. I mean, something yes. Motion.
Fly sweep.
What is that? What do you call it? Touch pass.
It's a fly sweep. Yeah,
Brady gets credit. Well, Brady gets credit for a completion for that for some reason.
The Brandon Cooks touchdown passes last year, just tap it.
Take it. It's a smart thing because teams are apparently not ready for it. But yes, Edelman gets it.
See,
yes, no
I say Gronk.
All right, I'll say Sonny Michel just so we're all
I say Gronk gets the ball first because I think this is one, like, really, your offense coordinator, like, man, I got to get my best players involved right away. I got to get some confidence with Gronk. I got to let that defense know that we're going to use him. He's not going to be any decoy. I mean, I'm throwing him the ball very first play. First one I'm throwing it. And I can see it right now. Saturday night, you know, team meeting, offensive meeting. All right, let's put the first 12 plays up on the board. Gronk. Yeah. We're going to you.
Yeah,
you know, fired up.
Everybody's excited.
Yeah, let's get the Gronk.
Is he gonna thank up. Brady after the play for having confidence in him? Like, thanks, he did earlier. Hey, Tommy.
And then Brady's we're going to play forever.
Best friends.
Hug.
I'll never
game.
Leave you.
The reality is this is the last time they play together.
And he will go down. Let's say it's his last game at Gillette. He will go down. I mean, it's the last game as a Patriot. They lose to the Chargers, which is possible.
It's possible.
You can play some sad music here because it is sad. He is an all-time Patriot. He should go in first ballot Patriot Hall of Famer, first ballot NFL Hall of Famer, one of the great tight ends of all time,
whose career
we will say at the end, if it goes out this year, was hampered big time by injuries in his final year. Look, nothing like the Rob Gronkowski will remember for his career based on what we saw this
season.
Is he
the best football player that Brady played with?
No. The best football player?
Randy Moss. Probably Randy Moss. But the best player that he played multiple years with?
The most talented player ever played with was Randy Moss.
Tricky right there.
But the best player at his position is probably Gronkowski.
Probably.
Because Gronk is going to go down as a top...
Best position of that tight end? We talking about?
I'm right here.
We'll find Vrabel. You're right, Vrabel.
I got Wiggy 2, then I got Fourier 3.
Scott Chandler, excellent run there. Training Chandler.
I like Garrett Mills 5. Yeah. He was a nice player.
Hey, Martellus Bennett won a Super Bowl here.
That's true. It's one of those two, and you know.
But so many more seasons for Gronk. Like Moss had the one season where he was unbelievable. Then he had another season where he was good. But then that was it. Like it was pretty short lived. As great as he was,
and I'm not sure. I think in New England we'll probably rank him up there. I've heard plenty of people talk about Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, tight end wise,
other tight ends like Travis Kelce is now considered the best. And I mocked him for a while, but he's
really
the best tight end in football.
Next question.
I know he's more of a receiver than he is a blocker. But you watch him yesterday; he's uncoverable. He's like Gronk was in his prime. You just can't cover. It's seven
really
catches;
good.
All seven went for first downs.
Yeah.
All seven catches went for first downs.
And he's so good with the ball after he catches it too.
And it's weird to see a tight end like that catch the ball and then bounce up when he gets tackled. Like he got tackled like hard a couple times, and he hops up. And you're like, oh, you can do that? You're allowed to not like grab every part of your body after you get tackled?
He caught like a seam route, and somebody hit him high, and the safety came in.
Like,
and maybe it's the same play you're thinking of.
Yeah, he went low on his legs.
He jumped up, and
I'm like, is he dead?
I was like, he's done.
He's like, first down.
I was like, what the hell? I sat there, and I watched that Kansas City game and go, okay, somebody needs to get hurt.
Yeah,
like
for them
needs
to win.
Get, like
the Pats were
going
to win.
Like to get a hit.
Mahomes hurt his ankle there for a second.
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
I was like, that's it.
Bring in Chad Henne. Bring me Chad Henne.
That's the only way they're going to beat those guys.
They don't have Brody Croyle anymore? They don't have him? Is that their guy?
I don't think so. I don't think Montana's there. Is he? Joe Montana's still there?
Was he the last? So. That was the last guy to win a playoff game, right?
Who was it?
Yesterday? For the Chiefs? I think it was Joe Montana. Like
that was the big. They were 1-11 or 1-12 the last 13 playoff games.
Yeah.
And they stomped the Colts yesterday. But I mean, I guess I'm not surprised by the Gronk news today because Florio said
without
Rapoporting it.
Yeah.
Florio said this on our show Friday. He said he lost his joy. Not going to be surprised. And for those who don't know, Florio is very close with Gronk's agent Drew Rosenhaus.
Yes.
So is Ian Rapoport, from what I can tell. So I think that Rapoport is and Florio are both talking to Rosenhaus, and Rosenhaus is saying, yeah, my guy's going to retire.
But this isn't like brand new stuff either, because if you say you polled the show, if you asked Mutt and Jerry and Glenn and Lou and Dale, and you asked everybody, 5 weeks ago, do you think Gronk's going to retire at the end of the year?
In the next couple weeks, Gronk is gone.
Yes, add him to the list. I think more of us would have said he's gone.
Oh, Jerry's convinced that he's not. He wants to keep playing football and he'll go somewhere else and play.
All right.
I think you were right about the there is a Tom Brady connection that kept him here.
Yeah, that helps.
And if the Patriots tell him in the offseason, he gets the meeting or the call, we're going to cut you loose. Rather than go get himself healthy before you talk about his health, do that and go play with a different quarterback, I think he's going to walk away. I know it's not what you think of football players, and it's not fighting for that one more year, one more run. But I think there's been enough whispers now where if he's not with Brady or doesn't take some crazy team-friendly deal to stay, he is not going to play football.
And unlike some
which could happen. There's a chance he can play for a couple million bucks.
And unlike some other guys that would want to just hang on because they say to themselves, I have no idea how I'm going to even make a dollar after I stop playing football. Not that he can make the same amount of money as he can make playing football. That's obvious. But the other things that are going to be available to him, like, he can still work. He can still do stuff.
WrestleMania mojo!
You know what I mean? Like, he'll still be somewhat relevant. It's not like some of these other football players who, if they retire, you're like, all right, see you later. Like, good luck. Like,
but also, I mean, so we're all assuming that they're going to get bounced and they're going to lose and the season's going to end on a whimper, right? It's either going to end today
or
it's going to end next week.
Yep.
Okay, but I would say I think he's got a big game in him. I think today is going to be a big game for him. I would say even next week, if they keep going, it's because he's having impactful, you know, games.
What's the bottom line for a big game? What does he have to hit first?
What's,
to be a big
oh, that's a good question.
Anything?
He's had those before, like 4 catches, 20 yards. No. They're like check
downs. I can see that.
No, those you know they're check downs. They're like you know there's no run, there's no ability to run after the catch, no touchdowns. They're just you know. There's just nothing like, okay, well, he was there, but he didn't really make a difference.
What's a big game?
What's his big game?
I think I had it down at
I would say 6 for 85 and a touchdown would be a big game for Gronk. That's my new baseline big game.
Yeah, okay. 6 to 7 catches, 80-plus yards, and at least one
touchdown.
Gotta
get a touchdown. Yeah, you gotta get especially for that kind of guy who normally is a touchdown game when he's good.
Because one of the things that's missing is just his red zone threat ability. It's like, listen, I know you're – like yesterday, I was just watching the Rams. They threw a couple. Jared Goff had a bunch of sweet passes, tough catches though, but guys weren't coming down with them. I'm like, those are those opportunities where you have to make the tough catch. And Gronk was the guy you sit there because I remember Aikman was saying, "Wow, that was a great throw, tough catch." But I mean, you got to come down with that ball. He's putting it right where it should be, giving you a chance to make a play. And you're dropping it.
Was it week one where he made that catch on the sideline? That ridiculous go up and get a catch. I feel like
the one against the Bills too.
That was early in the year.
The first Bills game, I think, where he wasn't great, but that one catch looked like old Gronk.
See, and the only reason why and that would be a big game, 6 for 85 and a touchdown, something like that would be a huge effort. The reason I would bet against it is the Mike Reese story earlier this week on ESPN Boston, where an opposing coach said, "Here's what you do with Gronk: you get physical early in the game." He just can't fight through it anymore. You can knock him off kilter. You can knock him off his route.
Yeah.
And this Charger team has a bunch of guys could do that. Derwin James, the safety.
Awesome. Yeah.
Might be on Gronk all day today if they want to do that. He's a big physical guy. They can rotate different players at him. And if he's not healthy and opposing coaches see that, Anthony Lynn's going to see that. They had a good game plan in Baltimore. So I'm with you on that would be a big game. I would bet against it today. I would bet against that. Stat line.
It's one of those things where it's just you've had really 3 weeks, and you just maybe just been holding on to it, and you're not really using all your A and your B plays. You're not really diving deep into your play, but because you can be, you know, explosive or you can be productive without it.
Right.
I guess got a feeling. How about that?
A feeling.
Wait a second.
He's
had some feelings this year. He's got some sources this year.
I'd be amazed.
Sources don't always text
him
back.
I'd be amazed if he is not involved in this game. I can't imagine him not being involved significantly.
Let me give you the way
that
he
would
is.
That would be derelict in your duties.
I'm not sure what that word means, but
I sounds right. Drop that.
But you think he's still good enough to be? The reason why I would say he wouldn't be is because he's shut down by the Chargers, and the Chargers just defensively now. Gronk is just not good enough anymore to be the feature guy in your offense.
But here's where Josh McDaniels needs to be the Sean McVay of the NFL.
Nobody's Sean McVay.
Okay,
just
I
Sean
know,
McVay.
But the, you
good
know
luck.
We all have goals.
Good luck finding one.
We all have goals. It's funny because Josh McDaniels used to be the Sean McVay of the NFL. My God, what happened? You create opportunities for him. That's what good offensive coordinators do, right? Okay, obviously, they, you know, defenses figure out how to stop you. All right, well, I can't just stop throwing to my best player. I'm going to create some opportunities for him. That comes with timing, circumstances, play development, you know, whatever you're talking about. We're going to create an opportunity for you, Gronk, and we're going to throw you the damn ball. Just do your job and go get it. You got it. Or he says something like, I am Groot. I mean, he does something like that.
Could do that.
He could do that. I just think it really does come down to how the Chargers play him. Because if they just are dumb like Miami was, it's yes. like a soft zone, then Gronk, he can still catch. He can still get open and
they
catch.
Don't seem they dumb.
Do
Anthony Lynn they don't seems seem competent. Dumb. They started they poorly last year, and they've been this a great run since then. They went to Baltimore and shut down that running game.
They seem like they're a smart team.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. That was the news story on Rob Gronkowski. Also, some, I'd say, less surprising news even on Tom Brady this morning from Ian Rappaport. We'll get to that and more. NFL Sunday, Pats and Chargers later on today.
So that would be derelict in your duties.
You're listening to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
Incredible what they did today. I mean, we know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week. And what Todd and CJ did this week.
Take somebody's soul.
Keep Tolliver, excuse the language, he's a little excited.
Bleep that one.
Yeah, we'll
he's
we're
right,
live.
Though. He's right. So. But,
Sold out here, I believe. Sure did. What Keith Kalief said last night. Rams over the Cowboys, 30-22, so they advance to take on the winner of this afternoon's game between the Nick Foles and the New Orleans Saints. No bleeping soul out here.
I don't know what's happening there. I love how he argued the pass interference call like late in the game where he just shoved the guy out of bounds.
It's like this.
And he's like, what do you mean? And you're like, you can't do that.
Well, that's what all good DBs do,
no,
right?
I know.
You fight
I know.
For. I mean,
oh, he's great.
Brady still does that with the officials sometimes.
Oh, they do.
Fight for
bombs. He on my team. Hey, man.
Tom Brady, if you missed the other news report today, Sunday news dumps continue even in the postseason. Rappaport had it. This is first reported by, I'll give him credit, even though he didn't quite call it an official report, but Mike Giardi, NFL Network, said a couple weeks back that Brady was dealing with an MCL sprain that occurred in the Tennessee Titan game. Ian Rappaport reporting the exact same thing today, maybe more formal than Giardi did, saying it happened on that dumb pass play that caught out of the backfield and got up sort of weird from that, and he'd been dealing with it. But now this week is as healthy as he's been all year. I don't think if you watch him play this year, it's any surprise that he'd been dealing with something, because there were times where he looked like he was protecting that knee. And
he wasn't running the whole 100 yards either when he ran out to start the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
the 50-yard run.
He only ran the 40.
What does he do today?
Let's go.
Oh, not good.
Played pretty well in the Jets game.
It is funny, though, when you hear these stories, both the Gronk may retire and Brady may have had an MCL injury. And
you're like, let's go!
It's like the national media is like catching up with what we've been talking about for months. It's like neither story is surprising to any Patriots fan who's been paying attention, but now it's common knowledge. Now it's out there.
Oh, that's
like, okay.
Why.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm just, when did this, really?
Oh, the Tennessee play where he tackled himself?
My pick.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I say it didn't happen on that play, though.
You don't think so?
No. I think it happened earlier in the game where he took a sack, or he didn't take a sack, got rid of the ball, but he got so twisted. That play, I guess you don't know, but that doesn't look like an MCL sprain. An MCL sprain, you usually have like somebody either fall on your knee, right, or it gets twisted. He just kind of fell awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
either way.
It's not surprising to anybody. I mean, based on the way he played this year, we've had this debate on Brady for the last couple of weeks, what kind of year that he had and what's it related to. I think it's a bunch of different things. I think the age/injury is the front of that list, because there have been times where he looks to be avoiding defensive players in the pocket that aren't there, right? He's always been really, really good at avoiding that hit, maybe one of the best of all time. But now we're seeing him do it and duck away from ghosts, duck away from players that aren't there. I think that's got to do with either age and your clock is not quite where it was, or you're protecting yourself from an injury. So I completely believe it. Whether or not it affects him out there today, I mean, I don't think he goes out there and throws for 350 against the Chargers because now all of a sudden he's healthy.
I doubt it.
Lack of weapons around him and his age, he's just not – I don't think he's capable at this point of having one of those monster Brady games. They could definitely win this game. It won't be on the right arm of Tom
Brady.
But
I think the week off does really help. And that's another thing where you're saying, all right, if the Chargers are better than the Patriots in a vacuum, you know, they had a better record in the regular season, and you go through the rosters, they seem like they have more talent – But all these other little things, and one of them is definitely the week off. You know, Brady's a little bit healthier. Look at Gronk. Some of the best games that he played were when he weren't back-to-back games, right? Like where he had time off. I mean, week one was his best game.
Yeah.
That was as healthy as he was. Then there was the time where he missed a couple games. They also factored in the bye week. Then he came back out and he looked pretty good. So if he's going to have a big game in the playoffs, like this week or next week, what you would bet on this week? Like he's just a little bit frustrated.
Yeah, I would say. And really just mentally, guys, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, two games, and then you get another 2 weeks off.
Right, exactly.
Right? So let's all get mentally right, get whatever you need to do, get it done. So, yeah, that's why I think if you're going to pick a game for him to kind of reemerge and be, you know, significant, that it's today.
Now, does the mindset as a player change at all with the result of yesterday's game? Meaning the players could have known, like, hey, we win this and we're still home the next week. Or knowing that they suck on the road, that even if you win this, we have to go to Kansas City.
No.
I don't even think about it.
No, you don't even think about it. It's funny. I just saw they just showed up. Didn't Gronk have a touchdown against the Jets? Right.
So.
It was like it was a goal line play. The guy that was covering him ran into somebody else, and I was like, wow. And when I was like, when you have like droughts like in the end zone, and you're used to being there a lot, just even if it wasn't a crazy catch or a tough play, like just being in the end zone kind of like resets everything, and he goes, okay, this is what it's like. Let's get more of this. It's weird.
What are you talking about?
It is.
Honestly, I can't.
It
okay,
it's like a basketball player getting a layup and just
wait a second.
Like, wow,
you just feel a little two-yard touchdown where you're wide open. This now resets. So Gronk,
back.
All the injuries are gone.
Back,
he feels better. The back. What's it? I got the end zone again. My back feels better.
No,
my
it's not.
What are you talking about?
It's less about that. Listen, you can mock it all you want. I'm totally fine with it.
How many wild games you playing?
But I know, like it just seen. I remember someone was like, wow.
Wiggy Jr. here.
No, please. Wiggy has him winning by, two touchdowns, please. All it's missing is a big foam finger.
The L.A. Chargers.
When I saw that, I was like, it reminded me of different players, opportunities that I had where we're like, wow, just getting in. I would say if you drop a bunch of passes, if you drop a pass or you go through, a stretch where you're not really involved and then you make some great catch, next thing you know, they're throwing you the ball again. It's like, oh, he can do it. Oh, he's available. Oh, okay, this can work. Not saying that they're going to sit there and just, like, throw every pass to him, but I do think that it is important. Just
last three games of the season, he had 4 catches for 45 yards.
Wow.
That's three games.
That was the Bills, Jets,
Steelers.
And Steelers.
That's some good percentages.
That's so bad.
That is so bad.
That is so unbelievably bad. That is a player who is going to retire.
Yeah, he's
who's
done.
Hurt, banged up, and doesn't want to do this anymore.
He's done. He's miserable.
What did he end up having?
But today's
47 catches
game.
For the – yeah, yeah. You want to get a little prop bet, side bet?
Sure.
A little wager?
I know some people.
Want a hook?
I know some people.
I'm going to do a hook.
Hook.
Whatever that means. Can I just tell you something real quick,
though? Give him the hook.
Yeah.
Can we stop with the beat LA chance?
Squirrel!
Can we stop with that?
I'll raise my hand. Who's doing Beat LA Chance?
I see it on TV.
Brady did that thing on Instagram.
Instagram. I see it on tweets. I see it everywhere.
Charlie McAvoy was electric in that Brady video.
What time did he show up for that, by the way? How many times did it take for him to – I mean, why get him involved in that?
That made no sense. It's just weird.
Was he there?
Yeah, can I say it?
Can he play for the Bruins first before he's doing videos?
See, it's one of these
things.
What was he doing?
Is that what it is?
We'll play in the next segment. It's better as a visual. We'll play it anyway. But I saw the Twitter hype for it and said, you know, it's one of these. I'll watch it. And I'm like, no, not.
I didn't feel it either.
I didn't feel it.
It felt forced.
Yes, that's exactly what it felt.
What are we doing?
I didn't like it.
You don't have to do it every single time.
No,
I didn't like it.
Ryan in New Hampshire is on the line at 617-779-7937 with a conspiracy about Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
this is the type of place to lay that out there. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. I'm excited to hear this conspiracy about Gronk.
All right, cool, because I've been actually meaning to talk to you guys for a while, and I never got a chance to.
Good.
So my conspiracy about Gronk is that he will retire this year.
Yep.
And Vince McMahon will sign him to a exclusive deal where he can perform in WWE, be in WWE movies, and perform and play for the XFL.
Hell no. Last one, hell no.
No,
You want me to do
about
what?
This? What if he's that is what a, if he's the commissioner? What if he's the XFL commissioner?
Could do that. That is Dale and Keith Caller 101 right there. That guy is directly about the wrestling, a conspiracy theory, and meaning to call you guys for a while.
I don't know if that's a real conspiracy theory.
Dale and Keith number one.
Studios.
That might have been Dale, actually.
Could have been Dale. Thanks for calling, Dale. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's still real to me, damn it.
That's the thing. He could easily. They have a studio set up so he can go. He could wrestle a few times a year, and then he can be in the Marine 7.
Oh,
he'd be great as the Marine.
See, but does that really count? That doesn't really count as a conspiracy, though. It's not like
he just wanted to say. We've been talking about. I have no problem with.
Okay, no, me neither. I'm all about building a brand.
Yeah, speaking of the music, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
The XFL. I mean, he could be. I remember when the XFL first came out, they had all the.
They need big names.
They had Dick Butkus come out. Yes. Like, he was like, came out in the XFL leather jacket.
Yes.
You know? I mean, he'd be that guy.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. So
he's the hype guy.
Yes.
He goes to all these games.
Yes.
Are you ready for some football? He does that whole thing.
Yeah, it's all good.
I would say easy freaking money, dude.
Right.
Do it all day long. You will not even look back at the NFL and
no, I don't think he's going to play there, but if he has something to do with it, they're going to try to get as many big names as possible to at least just say the words or the letters XFL.
All right, we'll get your calls on Pats and Chargers, who you're
XFL
and why. It's 617-779-7937. You open the show saying you have a new thought on Pats and Chargers. You said
that was it.
He already forgot.
What was it?
LA.
Forgot.
No,
he said stop.
No,
LA.
You said it. Is that your? That was your new thought.
Yeah, don't say beat LA.
Damn it! Thought we had a new thought on that.
No,
I like your question.
You didn't like that one?
I think it's great.
Well, I saved you because you would have built it up, and I would have been like, "No, I don't have anything."
I would have been a big.
Actually, it's actually a good thing.
Big
that
tease
I
is
saved
ruined.
Your ass.
Big tease is ruined. We're talking Pats and Chargers, and we'll do some. We haven't talked about this game a lot this week, so we'll come back and we'll do it next year on NFL Sunday.